Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Which is what I did a lot of on Saturday. Anyway, I'm Jim Galante. Today, I'm sitting in for Dustin. With me is the great Greg Pickle.
Morning, Jim. Hello.
Good morning. Y'all ready to talk some Penn State Iowa football?
Let's do it. 30-24. It was quite the game and another example of the cardiac kids coming out to play.
Incredible stuff. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Just to go over what we'll have for the show today. In quarter one and two, we're going to review the Iowa game. I don't even think two segments is enough to go through it, Greg, but we'll try to make it fit. There's no shortage of things to talk about. In quarter number three, we are going to take a look at the national college football picture.
Yep.
I know the playoff rankings come out this week. Mm-hmm. We have no need to wait for that.
No.
We've got Greg Pickle to take care of it for us. And then in quarter number four, we are going to ask Greg. And Ask Greg is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club Wine. If you haven't noticed, we've got a lot of alcohol as a theme for today. Nothing wrong with that, right?
Especially not. Absolutely.
All right. Let's start with Penn State, Iowa. Greg, let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
As you can see, my handwritten notes from the game. I knew it was going to be on, so I took my handwritten notes. And by the way, that's just the first half. But I want to go over the first couple possessions of this game. Here we go. Penn State gets the kickoff. Not only do they go three and out, they have Tompkins drop a pass. Then Gillikin mishandles the punt, or the punt snap, and it's a safety. Iowa gets the ball. In that possession, they fumble, recovered by Iowa. Windsor has a face mask penalty when they could have gotten off the field. They end that drive with the field goal. Penn State gets the ball back, gets a first down. Oh, no, they don't. Offensive pass interference. It's followed by a sack, then a bad punt for a short field. Iowa gets the ball. Windsor offsides for another penalty. Don't worry, Iowa fumbles the ball, but guess who recovers? Iowa again. And then they get a special teams touchdown.
And at that point, Jim, you just started to think to yourself, is this going to be another one of those games where Penn State can't get out of its own way? You look at the first quarter summary, believe it or not, Jim, Penn State actually outgained Iowa 83-78, which seems almost impossible, but three of their six penalties also came within the first quarter. So it was surely not a good start. I know it was ugly weather conditions and all that, but again, when you see this Penn State team, it endlessly feels like it's getting in the way of itself and can't find a way to get out of its own way, especially early. Certainly later on it was able to do so. But yeah, it was about as bad of a start as you could get, which is not something I thought this team was going to come out and you keep waiting, Jim, I think, for them to really have one of these games where they come out and they look like they did in 2016 and most of 2017, where they score quick and the defense comes out firing on all cylinders. And we just haven't seen that a whole lot this year, certainly not in this one either.
And the defense didn't play terrible.
No.
And not
set up,
bad
set
at
up
all.
For failure in a way. I mean, in the first quarter, at least. I mean, they don't give up. You know, I heard a lot of grumbling after the game about the 350 yards, but they didn't give up a touchdown out of an offensive formation. I mean, I thought it was a pretty good game for that group.
Plus, another game where the number of plays by the opposing team was incredible.
Yes.
A week ago, Indiana was, what, 100 plays?
Correct.
And this week, 88?
Yes.
That's a lot of plays for the defense to be on the field.
It is, and we're not talking about a whole bunch of substitutions here. I mean, our guy, it's great and sends a snap count in. I mean, Windsor and Givens, 62 for Givens, 66 for Windsor in terms of snaps out of the 88 that Penn State played. Sharif Miller and Itur Grosmatos played a ton of them. I mean, these guys don't substitute much, especially on the defensive line, because they just don't have the bodies to do it. So when you talk about 188 snaps, I think even more than that, you're talking about guys that are out there for pretty much the entirety of those. I mean, it's not exactly 188, but I bet Eter Grossmatos, Kevin Givens, that defensive line. And he said that Grossmatos said after the game that he was tired, and with good reason. I mean, he's played probably 150 snaps the last 2 weeks. You would think it catches up to you eventually. It didn't in this one, though, because they were able to batten down the hatches late.
And the upset would have been if he said, nah, no big deal. Right. We're out on the field a lot. But at what point do some of these things that you could chalk up to the randomness of it, mm-hmm. Here's my example. Can this team just fall on a fumble?
Right.
Even when they get to the point where the official says they get the ball, they don't get the ball.
They don't get the ball, right. No, it's pretty incredible. I mean, our friend of the program, Bill Connolly from SB Nation, wrote after the Michigan State game about how unlucky Penn State was to not fall on one of Michigan State's four fumbles. It was pretty much the same script against Iowa, just the scoreboard was different. But, yeah, it was. You know, some of these fumbles are ones where they bounce right back to guys, or they, you know, there's a long fight in the pile for them, and the other team somehow comes up with them, even though you look at the replay and you say, how in the world did Penn State get that? Or, yeah, you're right, there's one where they give them possession and then take it away.
Well, the other one, I think, was the first one where the two Penn State players were obviously right there
right.
to grab it. It was obvious they were going to get it, and they run into each other. And
is there anything more misleading than the guy standing around the pile pointing their way or the other way? They're never right. And one of them ends up being right in the end, but they don't know it when they start pointing.
They have no idea. I think, though, my favorite is when the players start pointing, and they're pointing in the wrong direction.
Wrong direction, yes. That's a classic. It's always a classic.
But you know what always happens. Well, and I saw this come up in conversation somewhere. You can't put that on coaching, right?
No.
You can't teach a guy to fall on the ball. You could tell him, hey, don't be trying to pick it up.
Right.
Just fall on it, get us possession, that's it. But I'm not sure that's really been the case on these fumbles, has it?
No, not really. I mean, for the most part, it's been, you know, guys, again, they get into the pile and they try their very, very best to fall on them. But for whatever reason, they don't come up with them. And, you know, you look at the turnover margin and things like that. You know, Terry Smith talked a lot last week about wanting his defensive backs to get more interceptions. Nick Scott comes up with a huge interception that changed the game. But, you know, overall, I think they're probably leaving some turnover chances out there on the field. There's no really way to debate that one. Again, you talk about an Iowa team that kept putting the ball on the ground and Penn State was not able to pick it up.
All right. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. All right, before we get to the positives, let's hang on this special teams because we talked about the turnover issues and they're not getting the fumbles. And
yep.
Yes, you could chalk that up to a randomness. But the special teams mistakes, this week it was the punter not being able to catch the snap or the snap just being airmailed over his head.
Yep.
Are we reaching the point where it's such a trend that you got to start looking at coaching?
I mean, so there's two arguments to be made here. The first one is that, of course, it's not the fault of Phil Galliano, the special teams coordinator, that, you know, Blake Gilligan drops a snap or Kyle Vasey snaps one over his head. You know, at some point, it is on the kids to execute. But at the same time, Jim, you know, if it happens week after week after week after week after week after week, it has to be a preparation thing, does it not? I mean, I don't know how else to look at it at this point. This was a game that Penn State very well could have lost, and it could have been pinned on the special teams if they did. I mean, Jake Pinniger, don't get me wrong, best performance of his time in blue and white, and he goes out and kicks 44, 45, and 49-yard field goals. I mean, yeah, I know there had to be a lot of fans sitting out there saying, where did this guy come from? Because he didn't look capable of doing this before this game. But if this is the trajectory he's on and his career is going to start taking off from here, Jim, they got a good one for the next 3 years. I mean, it was impressive to watch him out there. But overall, there are a lot of questions to Phil Galliano. I mean, you know, again, they just look unprepared, I think, at times. And it shows up in the stat book.
Well, and of course, the other side of that argument is, did all of a sudden the snapper forget how to snap the
right.
ball? Did Gilligan forget how to catch a snap? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times has he stood back there and kind of snapped.
For it, right.
You know, so you don't unlearn it. There's no coach saying, hey, you know what, Blake, on this one, let's do this. Instead of keeping your hands together to catch the ball, how about putting them out like this and let the ball go right through your hands? What do you think?
Yeah.
So you know that's not going on.
Right.
But there's so consistently so many issues, not to mention – you know, the special teams touchdowns. It seems like now opposing coaches are just saying, you know, I'm sure there's something there we could do on special teams, whether it's an onside kick, a fake field goal. Even against Michigan State, when it didn't work, it was just the guy was wide open. You had a defensive back make a phenomenal play.
Right. And you know, Jim, the other thing is this was the second week in a row where James Franklin came into his postgame news conference and said, couldn't practice that fake anymore all week. And if you practice against it, why does it keep, you know, if you can't, if you feel like you're as prepared as you can get, why can't it be stopped? And his argument, which I understand, was you got to give Iowa credit, and that's fine. But if that's if that is indeed the fake you claim that you're practicing for, and you know what they're going to do when they decide to go do it, put two guys on the guy you think is going to catch it and just let. Now, don't get me wrong, it was a tremendous throw and a great catch. I mean, for those two guys, a punter and a backup walk on defensive end, I mean, you just shrug your shoulders and say, what are you going to do? At the same time, if you're working on that stuff all week, it has to translate to the game field. We're seeing a lot of that this year, quite honestly, where it seems like things that are happening on the practice field just don't make their way to the game field, or they take a long time to get there. And that's been part of the problem this year.
And if that were the only special teams breakdown, that specific play, you're right. You tip your hat. But when it's happening every single game, you wonder, are they prepared? Let's get on to another topic. When we were going through the game, those first couple possessions, it felt like it was about 24-0,
yes,
not 12-0. But you got a feeling that next possession for Penn State, they needed to score. They needed to do something positive. And sure enough, a long drive, a fourth down completion to, how about John Dotson?
Mm-hmm.
And then the touchdown to freshman Freiermuth. Did you get the feeling without that score, the game was just going to get out of hand?
Absolutely. And you know what? I thought Jahan Dotson had a really impactful game, even though he didn't really show up that much on the stat sheet. I mean, that catch was huge, and it certainly slowed things down, I think, for Penn State, because otherwise, if you don't get that, I think you start pressing a lot. I think that, you know, things start to get a little bit more pressure-packed, and you don't know where they're going to end up, but he was able to come up with that catch. And I really think he and Pat Freiermuth, already has, and I do think Jahan Dotson's going to have a huge role in this offense during the final, you know, four games of the regular season and then the bowl game, because he shows every week he can make big clutch catches at clutch spots.
Well, and I'll tell you what, this also magnifies is those drops in other games.
Yep.
This game turns out differently if that fourth down play isn't made.
Agreed.
And it shows you how important those drops were. Anyway, that ends quarter number one of our show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue the Iowa talk right after this.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.